Before we begin, please refer to the disclaimer and link in the podcast notes, and note that all opinions expressed in this podcast are intended for informational purposes only and should not be treated as investment or financial advice.
This week's crypto recap. A major online provider comes back into crypto after years of hiatus, and the markets continue to slide. We'll break down everything, all you need to know in under 30 minutes, a bit of market talk, bit of regulations and some big stories, and of course the altcoins. How are you going this week, Nick?
Yeah, great, Matt. I'm really excited to talk Stripe, talk a lot about these big fintech firms that are starting to enter crypto again. It's the headlines we all love to see in crypto. Maybe you can let us know about what the latest is in terms of the market.
Yeah, so we continue to be what I'm really just calling a reset phase. We've been so used to covering such volatile prices. But really, the last 7 days, I think Bitcoin's down about 3%. ETH is surprisingly outperforming, which hasn't done in a long time. It's up about 1%, and Solana's down like double-digit percentages, like 10 or 11%. It's really, you know, leverage has been reset. You know, it's a lot of liquidations we saw a few weeks ago. I think everyone's just sort of, biding their time for, you know, the next phase of this bull market. And I think a big determining factor in when exactly that starts will be a lot of macro. Particularly the US economy. So we've got a big week ahead. Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve getting together to decide their next policy update, which everyone's expecting to be just holding rates steady. But of course, the main thing there will be the language at the press conference after. The market will be looking, is there a signal from, Jerome Powell that, maybe they're going to hold off, keeping rates steady the whole year, which would be very I could see that happening, but I think the market is hoping it doesn't. And then if there's a signal where Jerome Powell isn't maybe as negative in his outlook as last month, then, we might see a bit of a bounce, but that's going to be a really big thing this week. We've also got people like Arthur Hayes, the co-founder of BitMEX, pointing to, the US Treasury's refinancing announcement. So not just the fiscal side of things. Oh, that's more the fiscal side of things rather than the monetary policy side of things. So a big week. So a lot of that coming back to how much they putting into the bond market and whatnot. And then of course, some inflation data came last week, which I suppose was still higher than expected. So really, again, why does any of this matter with regards to inflation data? If it's still just coming in higher than expected, it's a signal that the Federal Reserve is struggling to get rates down or get inflation down, which is its aim, get it around 2%. So far they're still struggling to get it. So I think it's still around, in between 3% and 4%.
So what you're saying, Matt, is it's very quiet on the macro front.
Crickets.
Well, it's one of those things. I know I was looking at community bank stocks and even seeing there was some action again. It's easy to think about how long it was till last year, but it wasn't that long ago until we had community banks in the US and all these regional bank crises happening. I know that was kind of Arthur Hayes' main point, is to, hey, look at these conditions because they're kind of very similar. And I think they didn't really kind of patched over it rather than fixing anything fundamental. I think these common themes just will continue for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I think the main thing we're talking about here is just a lot of things are destabilizing, it seems, at the moment, whether it's geopolitically, but even just economically. And just finally, a last note there would be the Japanese yen. With a lot of people, you've probably been hearing a lot of people going on holidays to Japan. It's for a big reason for that is the currency is really favorable to tourists. And its currency continues to weaken. It's been happening for many, many years now. But today, even, it's really starting to escalate. And I think people do forget that Japan is the third largest economy in the world. Their currency obviously can have a lot of impact on different markets, the strength of their currency, and then the need of the Japanese central bank to maybe buy US bonds, things like that. So that seems to be a very topical discussion today. Whether it will be in a week's time, who knows?
I put my bets all on macro becoming the topic of the month again.
yeah, that's it. But back to crypto. And what do we got? The big news for the week.
Stripe, one of the biggest payment companies in fintech, they're coming out and re-entering crypto, which is super positive to see. considering we saw the reverse of this happen in the bear market with a lot of these companies reducing their announcements and exiting. But the last 24 months or last 12 months specifically, we've just been seeing an opposite of that effect and big payment companies enter the space again. So Stripe are creating a sort of a product that allows you to, or as a business, to easily engage with cryptocurrency, buy, sell it, and engage in those transfer process, because at the end of the day, cryptocurrency is so volatile. So these businesses want an easy way to be able to sell, trade, and move their cryptocurrency that they get from, whether it's subscriptions or payments, into, you know, local currency that isn't as volatile. Super exciting to see. And it kind of builds on Stripe's announcement. I think it was 12 months ago when they were working to have a fiat on-ramp for cryptocurrency. So that was their first big entry into crypto. And now we see sort of double down into the cryptocurrency products and offering a lot more services. So this says a lot. He was actually really bullish in his announcement in a presentation he gave outlining this new product, sort of saying that crypto is here to stay. He's seeing more utility driven. So he's seeing a lot of companies wanting to use and transact into cryptocurrency, which is, you know, just another big positive sign.
Mm, definitely. It's nice to have someone as big as Stripe on board. I think, they had the Bitcoin supported payments for a while in like 2015, 16, 17. I think they withdrew that in 2018, just noting the volatility just wasn't great for accepting it as payments. So notice that this time they've come back for the at least supported payment side of things and starting with USDC, which is, the big stable coin. And it makes a lot more sense to use that for payments than something like Bitcoin, in my opinion. So I think they announced that there would be more cryptocurrency supported in the future, but just USDC for now.
So probably keep our eyes peeled on what cryptocurrencies, I guess, Stripe is supporting, because that's also a really big, indicator to see which cryptocurrencies have the most utility or even the most demand to be transacted in. And those are the ones that are normally supported by a lot of these major companies first. Well, talking about major companies, we got maybe an ETF check-in, everyone's favorite, three letters there in the last 12 months. But another big name, I think Morgan Stanley, they're possibly close to greenlighting their pitches to for Bitcoin funds. Do you have any more details on that one?
Yeah, so this was a really positive announcement in a positive report in a week where ETF flows continued to be sort of net outflows or more or less sideways. So we've seen reports here that Morgan Stanley could be about to allow around 15,000 brokers that I suppose are integrated with its platform, and allowing those brokers, I guess, the ability to recommend that customers purchase, the spot ETFs. Importantly, this is a report citing two senior executives, so nothing too concrete there, but it kind of supports a lot of people's thinking who are deep in the ETF space, who have been saying that these sort of developments will be happening throughout 2024. I think we've talked about it another time where, you know, it is quite limited at the moment for who can access these ETFs, and even I suppose how these advisors can, or more importantly, that how they are limited in even pitching these ETFs. So as you said here, the story here, more so than the name Morgan Stanley, is just if this is true, the ability for a lot of wealth advisors and financial advisors to now be actually what they call solicit advice, or really just being able to promote or market these ETFs, or at least mention them to their clients, rather than not being bound to do so and only reacting to when the client wants it, which is called unsolicited, which is how a lot of these ETFs, when they're saying they're quote unquote supported, most of them have been unsolicited. So as we've said, the key takeaway here is there's a lot more, in my opinion, demand for these ETFs coming in 2024 and beyond, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest misconception out there with these ETF rollouts, is that, hey, we've got all this flows in, thinking that we're maybe reaching a peak there of those flows, without really considering that, hey, a lot of the market still can't get access to this. So you just can't go out, and these advisors can't go out and offer Bitcoin to people who may not have asked for it first. Mm-hmm. And that was a common, I think, terminology of people will say that the training wheels are on ETFs in a way, because they're just not fully rolled out in the way that many people think, which could be a real positive, considering that a lot of people maybe were surprised at the inflows. And I think, so the biggest, I think, bullish case there is that people are so surprised and even not fully rolled out, and we saw those volumes. So you have to wonder what it's going to look like when your Morgan Stanley can go out and say to, hey, maybe a 1% is advisable for you, and spreading knowledge about Bitcoin in that case to people who may not even consider it.
Yeah, yeah, it's very exciting what the outlook could be once that happens. But we'll go into the other sort of side of the ETFs with Ethereum. We saw Hong Kong approve spot Ethereum ETFs last week, and that was one of the first ones around the world I've seen that has spot ETH ETFs. Everyone's obviously weighing what's going on with the SEC and the approval there for the ETF that tracks the spot Ethereum. And as we've said, the sentiment over that, or the hope of it being approved in May, has been declining for many weeks now, and we saw almost, you know, more reinforcement that that's probably going to happen with reports coming out last week that of the issuers who are meeting with the ETFs at the SEC, they're sort of saying that it's not really as positive of a signs as it was in November, October last year when they were meeting about the Bitcoin ETF. So that's just some anecdotal point there, but it sort of supports the many people's thinking. And yeah, we saw the SEC delay two applications last week that it was expected to delay. So yeah, not much of an update there other than just negative. I think the hopes of a May approval have been fading, which we've said for a while.
Yeah, I've had a look at Polymarket, and that just continues to drop. Polymarket's one of the biggest prediction markets that you can bet on sort of outcomes, and the ETF is one of the big ones, and I think it's down to 13% now. So looking very unlikely for an approval, and I guess we'll have to expect a lot of fireworks at the end of May.
Yeah, and what you talk about there, of course, is whether you'll see the issuers sue the SEC, which is sort of what instigated the approval of the Bitcoin ETF eventually, but obviously that can be very drawn out. So yeah, I'm very keen to see what happens after that. It probably what will be a denial. In terms of regulatory and even SEC, it was a really busy week over there. We wanted to break down which ones of these. Should we start with Consensus? I think that's the most important one.
Yeah, it's a great one. Consensus, one of the biggest firms in the crypto space. They sued the SEC for the quote-unquote unlawful seizure of authority in regards to Ethereum. And as you alluded to, suing of has already started kind of beginning with the way that the SEC is treating different cryptocurrency assets. So Consensus coming out is just saying that, hey, you've completely overstepping the line in the way that you're kind of regulating the market and enforcing your own rules onto, saying that it's unlawful. Hey, maybe it's overstepping a lot here. So this is another, I guess, data point on the, I guess, lack of clarity in the market at the moment. As we know that May date is coming up, there's a lot of, I guess, uncertainty about how Ethereum is going to be treated. Like, will its staking all of a sudden make it a security? And what does that even mean? Who can support that asset then? And who can even engage with it? So big one, I'm not sure your take on their map, but just such a big firm Consensus really throwing out the haymakers to the SEC.
Yeah, no, it's great to see it happening all at the same time as, Coinbase really pushing back. And I think the takeaway for me is, it should help accelerate the process of getting clarity about the legal status of ETH, particularly in the US, obviously, and hopefully even more cryptocurrencies, but this is something that's necessary to happen because, Consensus and other, I guess, different plaintiffs who are suing the SEC are saying that they're really, unlawful seizure of authority. And they're really just, make it incredibly hard for any US-based crypto companies to operate, even if they're in well-intentioned of trying to be as compliant as possible.
Yeah, and I know maybe shifting focus to the other main suing that was going on was with the Blockchain Association in the US in conjunction with a few other smaller advocacy organizations. They sued the SEC over their alleged dealer rule. So it might sound confusing, but essentially the SEC is coming out and trying to define the way that who is a dealer, who is, I guess, obligated to maybe record and, have to answer to the SEC in regards to the products they're offering. So they've come out with this rule that says, hey, anybody who does a particular, cryptocurrency transaction, like a swap in the case of Uniswap, those protocol smart contracts could be, you know, labeled as these dealers, and then it throws into a lot of controversy about who that impacts. How can you even make smart contracts kind of answer to somebody? Kind of makes it really difficult if those proposed rules were to go ahead for anything to operate in the US and service US customers, because it would make almost any like financial smart contract a kind of a dealer and a broker. So this is what I think these big firms are suing over because of this lack of clarity. It really makes building these type of products that you mentioned really difficult and in some cases completely impractical and impossible. So these are just two small examples of major cases that are coming up. You've mentioned Coinbase that is currently happening. Uniswap was a big one that we expect to get a formal possible complaint in the next weeks or months. So tons of things just heating up because I think push is coming to shove here, and crypto is essentially just fighting back and saying that, hey, we need guidance and we're not okay with the way it's being handled at the moment.
Yeah, watch this space for sure. Over to the altcoin side of things, of course, another week and a lot more developments in the altcoin market. This one was quite topical in the space. We've got news or maybe not news out of Hedera.
Yeah, so Hedera is one of the long-standing blockchains that was serving this kind of niche of kind of institutional focus. And back, I think, in 2017, when a lot of these blockchains were really getting a lot of focus, they come out and their token increased 100% off news that BlackRock, you know, had deployed part of their tokenization on that blockchain. But it come out, I think, hours later that, hey, it was kind of a lot of funny business by some of the press releases that went out. Essentially, BlackRock come out and said that we are not associated with them, Hedera. It was just an in-between middleman who used the BlackRock build fund that was being developed to then, you know, because these things don't need BlackRock's permission, they were able to just port it back onto this blockchain and market it as a news that, hey, BlackRock's kind of legitimizing the Hedera blockchain, which it didn't do. And it's just a lesson that I know we talk about a lot for our members to look out for these press releases, because a lot of it could be more marketing than truth. And this is a really good example because the token quickly fell after this news. And yeah, another good lesson. I'm not sure if you've had any other experiences where you've seen this happen time after time again.
Yeah, too ready to count, really. And even the ones that do aren't clarified, it's probably the ones that are more dangerous. So in this example, I think as bad as this news was, it was good that BlackRock came out quite quickly and made their position clear. The ones that are more frustrating for me is when, a crypto project will make a company, make it out to be that company is a lot closer, ingrained with that project than it actually is, but then nothing gets said. They're probably the worst ones. As we've talked about before as well, the behind the scenes like grants and that go on to try to lure and win across big companies, but then that stuff isn't mentioned in the press release. So there's always some shenanigans that go on with just press releases in general and the strategy behind them and what they maybe don't say.
Yeah, I know one of the best examples for this is when they use sort of public, private companies to support them. For example, whether it's Google Cloud or Amazon Web Services, they kind of may say that, hey, we have a partnership with Amazon Web Services or you have a partnership with Google Cloud, but really it's just you're filling out a form and you're signing on. And it's not necessarily a partnership per se that's unique to them, but a partnership that anybody can create because you're just using their services in a way. So that's a common one I find where people attach themselves to a Google or an Amazon, where in reality, it's not a exclusive relationship, but just rather using like their services.
I think the market started to clue into it, but clearly with that 100% increase, so there's some that aren't yet, but moving on to Jupiter, and they did tease another initiative in a new space that they may be expanding into. Looks like the mobile space. So it's called the Jupiter Mobile Initiative. Supposed to be released in beta in May. So we've seen Jupiter rapidly expand, and that's another continuation of that.
Yeah, really excited to see some like real user friendly crypto apps to get out there. And I guess we'll have to see, like, if it's available at Apple. Well, I know they have very contentious laws about what applications they can serve, but I think that's just going to be another headwind for Jupiter to try and gain adoption. And I know they may be launching with zero trading. So in a limited time, if you are interested, that could be a cool one to try out, a new crypto app.
Wonder if it'll be even in the Saga phone, although that might be a watch as well. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. But as for Polygon, they also had some news this week.
Yeah, they come out and said that they worked with accounting firm EY, which is one of the big four consultancy firms, to use the Polygon Stake blockchain for their business contracts. So this is pretty notable for a couple of reasons, just because EY have done a lot of due diligence and a lot of reports looking into blockchains, how they can use it, how they can leverage it to save time, save money across their kind of suite of consultancy. And this is one sort of example of maybe it doesn't light the world on fire, but it is a good use case that they explained, I think, in one of the reports. We can even link that in the show notes, explaining why they're using Polygon and just showing that, hey, a lot of these public blockchains do save big companies time and money by putting things on chain rather than having to maintain it in their own costly way. So one to watch out for. And yeah, I wanted to see if one of these other big four accounting firms and consultancy firms embrace cryptocurrency and a lot of these public blockchains.
Nice. And with Stax, we finally got the Nakamoto upgrade starting to roll out. So yeah, we've covered this for members, you know, more than a year ago. This Nakamoto upgrade's been a long time coming, like very technically, I guess, advanced and pushing the edge of what Stax can do as a protocol. So they call it, you know, to simplify it, sort of like a side chain of Bitcoin, and it just enables a lot of different use cases. Yeah, they're doing a lot of things as part of this upgrade, which is why it's taken so long, but they actually started to roll it out. And they will be doing so over, I think it's 2 or 3 weeks. So yeah, by the end of May, the Nakamoto upgrade, will be completed. And yeah, the, I think the SBTC token as well is part of that. And I'm sure a bunch of incentives and liquidity initiatives and whatnot for those projects building on top of Stax. So excited to see, yeah, what all this development has led to in the next coming weeks.
Yeah, it's I think building on Bitcoin narrative is definitely going to ramp up and, you know, here to stay, especially after the halving. We're going to probably see more of these type of announcements from sort of Bitcoin aligned, you know, cryptocurrencies that are trying to use it more for kind of the same way we see Ethereum is building on it and just trying to extend its usability, and even some that are trying to target Ethereum and attract that liquidity back to Bitcoin, which is always kind of the big bull case, is that how long it's going to take for all this to come back to Bitcoin. So that's going to be a narrative I think we're going to be watching for the next good 12 months.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of the week ahead, what to look out for, I know there is a sentencing date for, you know, former Binance CEO. I think it's on April 30, so they're sent, yeah, over there in the US. So, yeah, potentially might get a few years, might get nothing. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, so I think the US authorities were looking for 3 years. Even CZ came out with a bit of a sorry letter today over the last couple of days, saying how he's a bit better now and how he's trying to urge for leniency in the sentencing. So that's going to have major impacts, especially if it's longer than expected. That could really send maybe a signal that, hey, they're not, you know, messing around here.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that would be for Binance specifically or the crypto market?
I guess it depends how big it deviates from the expectation. There was always talk about 1 to 3 years. They come out saying we want 3 years. If it comes out as something like 5 years crazy, that could send a real shockwave potentially. Otherwise, BNB is very closely related to, of course, Binance. There's always been conjecture about exactly how separate Binance, CZ are to BNB chain and all these validators. So I don't expect there to be fireworks, but if there was, potentially we could see some price action with BNB.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out for that. And I think some new tokens going live this week as well, as always. Like Camino was one off the top of my head that's getting close. Like Frentech V2 launching this week, and the Friend token, I think, is anticipated. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, in terms of what happened in the last week, it's underappreciated or overappreciated. The one that stood out to me was, yeah, underappreciated. I didn't see much talk about this, but Visa announced or launched an on-chain analytics dashboard to track all things stable coins. So yeah, again, just another legitimizing, you know, small bit of news, yes, but I think in the grand scheme of things, a push towards, you know, tracking on chain and particularly stablecoin metrics, which, as you've said, have been really increasing the past, well, years, particularly last few months as well.
Well, yeah, that's actually some of my favorite news. I love just seeing that the work that Visa does in the space. And a lot of people don't realize, like, the research reports they put out, the interest that you always think that, hey, Visa is not really involved in the space, but they really are under. So I'm really curious to see what else they're going to roll out.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of another, I suppose, not a crypto native business, but another big development, what have you got for us?
So my most underrated thing this week was the news from Block Inc., which is Jack Dorsey's company looking at payments. They have a separate company called Spiral, which looks into Bitcoin development, and they're building their own Bitcoin miner. I've been putting this on the agenda for members the last year, probably more, that we're probably going to be seeing a big announcement from Dorsey as per the Bitcoin miner. And we sort of got it. They said that they come out of and finish development for their mining chip, and they're trying to create a standalone Bitcoin miner. This is a huge deal because of, I think Vitalik even come out this week to talk about centralization in mining because of the Bitcoin halving. Essentially, it's harder for solo people to mine Bitcoin effectively and in small ways. It's got to be all these big companies that are focused on just because of the economics of scale of it. Dorsey is pretty much saying that, hey, I'm going to try and create an alternative to have a lower cost miner that anybody can use to try and help support the network to increase like that decentralization. So huge announcement that potentially will be forgotten about in the next week, but be prepared for maybe next year, who knows these timelines, because creating this Bitcoin miner is hard and it's been a reason why they've delayed it. But huge under the radar here, and I'm only expecting more from Block Inc. and Spiral, just diving into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency more general.
Exciting stuff. We will leave it there for this week. Thank you for tuning in. If you are looking for more insights from Collective Shift, definitely head over to and subscribe to our weekly market insights newsletter. So you can subscribe there at collectiveshift.io/newsletter. That's collectiveshift.io/newsletter.